Hello, Stuart and Jody here. It will be the first Sunday of the month, this coming Sunday on the 5th. So we usually at Kerry have communion, the Lord's Supper together, sharing bread and wine. So if you don't have bread and wine with you at the moment, you might like to stop the recording and go and get a piece of bread and some wine or juice or whatever you want to use for that, and then come back and join us. All are welcome to receive communion or participate in the communion if you're seeking God and trying to follow Jesus. So without further ado, let us pray. Father, as we gather in our homes, listening online, we pray that your Holy Spirit would unite us and connect us and flow in and through us and speak to our hearts. We pray your blessing upon the readings, the prayers, the reflections, the breaking of bread and wine, that you would be manifest by your presence amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 16 through to 19, and then 25 through to verse 30 at the end. So that's Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 16 through to 19, and then 25 through to 30. And Jody is going to come and read that for us.
To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. But John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would blow through the words of Scripture and the words that I'm going to say, and that you would minister to each one of us, that you would bring your strength and your encouragement and your rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you feeling weary and burdened? I know I am. Weary of not being able to do the things I enjoy doing. I miss going to live football, live concerts, being able to go to the pub safely. I don't feel ready for that just now. And most of all, gathering together to worship together, to praise God together, to break wine and have communion together, and to preach to people with faces rather than out into cyberspace. There's lots of things that I miss and are weary about. But I'm also weary of phone calls, Zoom meetings, emails, reading government guidelines about how to safely open the church, weary of social distancing, weary of lack of human touch, weary of feeling afraid and anxious and worried, and also burdened. Burdened with worries about opening up church, burdened about people's safety as regards to the virus and keeping people safe, burdened, about feeling, about people feeling excluded when they can't come back in the future. And then the burden or the weight of an unknown future. And what will the new normal look to us all? I could go on and on and on and go off on a rant, but I'll stay with that for now. And Jesus says to me, and he says to us all in verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And oh, how we need that rest at the moment, to rest in him, to rest in his presence. We won't have full rest until he comes again in glory and establishes kingdom in all its fullness. Or perhaps when we die and go to be in his nearer presence, we will have that rest in its fullness. But even now, we can experience his rest in the middle of our anxieties, in the middle of our burdens, in the middle of our weariness. And then Jesus goes on to talk about yokes. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, for with you will find rest for your souls. Now, yokes doesn't really sound very restful, but we know that the person who puts those yokes upon us is Jesus, who is gentle and humble and tender and can be trusted. And then he goes on in verse 30 to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. An easy yoke sounds a contradiction in terms. A better translation would be a well-fitting or well-fitted yoke. There's an apocryphal story about Jesus when he was a carpenter before he started in his public ministry. And he had a reputation for making good, well-fitting yokes for the oxen and for the cattle that came along, and he made them perfectly to fit the animals so they wouldn't chaff them or hurt them. And people came from all around to get these well-fitted yokes from Jesus. It's probably a mythical story and probably isn't true, but it's a nice story in many ways. But the Jesus that we know and trust knows all about us. And the yokes he makes for us, the tasks he gives us, are tailor-made, not ill-fitting. He gives us certain gifts. He has shaped us in a certain way that we'll use these gifts in his service, that it won't be a burden, that it will free us to be who we fully are and to use our gifts and talents for him in his service. He also talks about his burdens being light. Now, it doesn't feel like that, does it? Burdens don't feel light. Often they feel quite heavy. But with Jesus, we don't have to pass a test or obey the rules for him to love and accept us. His love for us is unconditional. Jesus, unlike the scribes and Pharisees of his day, didn't place heavy burdens on the people that oppressed them, that weighed them down. He came to set them free. But that doesn't mean that following Jesus is easy. It isn't. And anyone who's tried to follow him will know that it's not an easy path. But with burdens, we have to sometimes distinguish between burdens or tasks that God is calling us to, and burdens or tasks that we place upon ourselves. We often place burdens upon ourselves that God doesn't ask. Our own egos or our sense of duty can drive us to exhaustion and burnout at times. We need to remember that we don't carry our burdens alone. When you think about a yoke that an oxen has, you normally have a pair of oxen side by side pulling the plow. And when we think of being in a yoke, we need to remember that Jesus is beside us and is yoked to us and is with us, and he carries us. And with him, even heavy burdens can seem light. Perhaps the biggest burden is to have no burden to carry, to feel unwanted. Perhaps during this time of social isolation and social distancing, you may feel useless, that you can't help other people, you can't do what you used to be able to do. And that is a heavy burden to carry when you feel superfluous to needs and requirements of life, of the church family. And we all need to be needed. We all need to give and to receive. We all need to carry and care for each other. I was reading in the commentary by William Barclay on Matthew, a Scottish story where there was this man and he was walking through the streets and he saw this young boy who was carrying a smaller boy on his back because the other boy was lame and couldn't walk. And the man says to the young boy, "That must be quite a heavy burden that you're carrying there." And the young boy replied, "That's no a burden, that's my wee brother." He didn't see it as a burden because he carried that burden with love. Love for his young, lame brother who couldn't walk. He didn't see it as a hard task, or he didn't feel sorry for himself. It wasn't a burden because he carried that burden, his brother, his wee brother, with love. As Christians, we are all brothers and sisters and need to care for and carry each other during this time. As we look and discuss about when we will reopen as a church congregation, as a building, we need to look out for each other, especially those who can't get back, and make sure that they don't feel excluded or unwanted. Ultimately, we all need to allow ourselves to be carried by each other and by God. He will carry us through all this. But we need to, as the song says, to lean upon the everlasting arms. As it says in that song, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms." I woke up with that song in my head. I think I heard it recently in the film True Grit, which is a remaking of a Western. And that song stuck in my mind and reminded me that we need to lean upon the everlasting arms. We all have our anxieties at this time. But we need to lean into God at this time and lean upon the everlasting arms. As it says in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Let us pray. Lord, we come to you with our burdens, with our anxieties, with our worries and weariness at this time. And help us to lean upon you. Help us to be yoked to Jesus and allow him to carry our burdens with us and for us. And give us the strength and grace and love to carry each other through this time, and to lean upon you and your everlasting arms, which hold us, no matter how deep we may fall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to move into a time of celebration of Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper. So if you don't have any bread and wine and you want to participate in this part of the service, then go and get some, or the equivalents. If you just want to listen in, that's fine. If you've had enough, you can stop now, although there are some intercessory prayers afterwards led by Jenny. But stop, press the stop button if you need to, and come back when you're ready. Lord, as we gather virtually, we know that you are with us. You are with each one of us in our homes, that you're not limited by time and space. So we come to this table, which are many but are one. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for he is here and we are his body. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We listen to the familiar words of the institution of the Lord's Supper as passed down to us in and through the Apostle Paul. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself. That on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." And as Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the wine, we likewise give thanks. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of Jesus, that you sent him to live amongst us, to show your love in action and word and teaching and healing. And we thank you that his faithfulness to you led him to the cross, that he died that we might be reconciled to you, that our relationship with you might be restored. And we thank you that he did not remain dead in the grave and rot away, but that you raised him to life again. And now he lives in eternity with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father God, send your Holy Spirit down upon each one of us in our homes and upon this bread and this wine, that we may be infused with your life and fed with your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." So we now take the bread, break it, and share it with each other, whether we're alone or with other people. Jody, the body of Christ broken for you.
Christ broken for you.
Amen. Then Jesus took the cup and he said, "Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful." So we take our wine or our juice or equivalent that symbolizes the blood of Christ shed for each of us, and we drink it, remembering all that he did for us. Jody, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Mm-hmm. Blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. And let us pray. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. One of our church members, Jenny Birch, is now going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
In these times, we all know the importance of washing our hands, and as restrictions are lifted, it remains crucial in preventing the spread of the virus. Our prayers today will be based around our hands and focus on the five fingers. When you fold your hands, the thumb is nearest to you. We begin, therefore, by praying for those who are closest to us, our loved ones. Let us pray. Father, we think of those we are close to, our families and our friends. We give thanks that this weekend's easing of restrictions will mean that some can now meet indoors and enjoy long-awaited reunions. Please, Lord, keep them safe. Others are still shielding or in care homes. For them, it may be a while before they can be physically close to their loved ones. Please keep them safe too. We pray for our church family. We miss those we would normally be with at this time on a Sunday morning. We pray for the diaconate as they meet to decide how and when to reopen the church for worship, following the latest government and Baptist Union guidelines. We continue to pray for those who have been bereaved over recent months and give thanks for the life of Mick Carroll. We pray for his family and for Stuart as he conducts Mick's funeral this coming Thursday. O Lord, hear our prayer. Looking at our hands again, the first finger is the index finger and the pointer. Father, we pray for people who teach or instruct us. We think of teachers, giving thanks for their work amongst children and young people in schools and online during these times, and those parents who are teaching at home. We give thanks for those who teach the children of key workers and pray that all schools may safely be able to return after the summer break. Father, be with those who teach us of your love through the preaching of your word and the comfort they bring during these troubled times. Thank you for Stuart and Jody as they bring your word to us in our homes each Sunday, and for Martin as he keeps us updated with news of the fellowship. O Lord, hear our prayer. As we look at the middle finger, which is the tallest, we are reminded of those who have authority over us. Father, we pray for members of the government, the scientific and medical advisers who face difficult decisions and whose guidance has brought us thus far through the pandemic. We pray for all local council officials and the choices they have to face, particularly remember the leaders and councillors in Leicester at this time. Give thanks for the bravery of the emergency services over past weeks as they have faced large and sometimes unruly gatherings. Also, of course, the amazing NHS and care workers, as they tirelessly work to comfort the sick and save lives. We pray that we may all act sensibly and responsibly during these times. O Lord, hear our prayer. The fourth finger is considered to be the weakest. So let this remind us of those who are most vulnerable and in need of support. Father, we bring before you all who have been weakened by the coronavirus, those in hospital at present, and others in various stages of recovery. Give thanks for scientists and epidemiologists and those who are working so hard to fight this disease and to produce an effective vaccine. We pray for those who are responsible for getting the test and trace system working at its most efficient. Father, there are many others who are sick and suffering. The list of people waiting hospital procedures and operations grows longer. We pray for those known to us who are ill, be it a physical condition or when mental health is suffering through anxiety or depression. We give thanks for all who are good listeners, counsellors, workers in the refuges, for those who are the victims of domestic abuse, not forgetting the staff in the care homes. Father, we pray that we may be a good friend or neighbour to those in need. O Lord, hear our prayer. Lastly, the little finger, to remind us of our smallness in relation to God's greatness. Father, we worry about the future and if our lives will ever be the same again. But let us remember that you, Lord, are bigger than all our fears and anxieties, and your love for us is beyond our comprehension. You encourage us to come to you with our worries and burdens so that we may find rest in you. Let us come to you now and rest in that love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jenny, for your prayers. And thank you for listening online. We'll be here next week as well, I think. Whenever the church opens in the coming weeks, we'll probably still continue to record these for those who can't make it. Let's close with a blessing. Go now into God's world with joy and peace and love and hope in your hearts. And the blessing of Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with you all, now and always. Amen.